live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the death of Garda Colm Horgan has been described as a colossal loss to the community in Castlereagh. Fianna Fáil members in Donegal are being urged by party colleague Deputy Charlie McConlogh to support the programme for government. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson has published a bill which, if enacted, would make it compulsory for banks to cover the cost of mortgage payment breaks granted during the COVID-19 crisis. And Letterkenny businessman John Watson has said while coming to terms with the law, losing his business has been difficult. The potential loss of life would have been so much worse. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, as well as farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first, in news just in, a search operation is ongoing in the Loch Keel area outside Kilmacrenan this evening. The Malinhead Coast Guard received a report for assistance at around 2:55 this afternoon. The Rescue 118 and Mulroy Coast Guard were tasked to the scene. It's understood emergency services are also in attendance. No further details are currently known. The death of Garda Colm Horgan has been described as a colossal loss to the community in Castlereagh. The 49-year-old was shot dead in the Roscommon town last night. Casey O'Riordan reports.
Detective Garda Colm Horgan was greatly respected by colleagues and known in the community as a gentleman committed to helping other people. Late last night he was on patrol when he stopped to speak to a man who had recently been in contact with Gardaí. The conversation developed into a physical altercation during which the man took possession of Garda Horgan's gun. An entire round of bullets was fired and the detective was shot a number of times. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris came to Castlereagh today to pay his respects to Garda Horgan's family and to support his colleagues.
We've rallied round as an organisation. There's been a huge level of community support but also organisational support here for the local Gardaí.
Father John McManus says it's a difficult time for everyone.
It's a time of trauma, obviously, for Colm's family, for the Garda community that he was part of, his colleagues, and for this area and community of Castlereagh as well.
A community vigil is being planned to remember Garda Horgan later on this evening. Casey O'Riordan in Castlereagh.
The Green Party deputy leader has called on her party to vote to go into government. Catherine Martin came out strongly in favour of accepting the programme for government at the start of a special conference for party members today. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Some relaxing holding music on the Green Party teleconference gave way to deputy leader Catherine Martin strongly coming out to support the programme for government.
There is, of course, an easier place to be. Opposition is a safer option. But the extent of the wins achieved in the negotiations makes it the wrong place to be at this crucial and pressing time for Ireland and the planet.
All of the negotiating team members said they didn't get everything they wanted, with most still backing the agreement. The lone dissenter in the first session was Nasa Hourigan. She said they didn't get support for the Occupied Territories Bill, among others, and couldn't promise that they would back it if at Cabinet.
If there is a vote like that, we will be whipped as a government group. And I can't tell any of our members how we would vote if that bill comes up.
There has been concern among members about what to do if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil don't live up to promises. TD Roderick O'Gorman addressed it.
I've no problem leaving. The only reason that I'm supporting this programme for government is because of the policies that are in it.
Catherine Martin also said there should be a review of the government's progress every 2 months, with a potential renegotiation of the programme for government 2 years into the deal.
Well, Fianna Fáil members in Donegal are being urged by party colleague Deputy Charlie McConlogh to support the programme for government. There's a major split within the party locally over plans to enter a coalition with Fine Gael. Deputy McConlogh, who is in support of the programme, says the decision of members boils down to whether a government is in place or not.
It's a very important decision for members and for our party and also for the country. And our members now will be making a decision that will decide on behalf of the public that we serve what happens next in relation to government formation. And I certainly think that the programme for government, which has been agreed between the three parties, is a very good one and one which can deliver for the country.
But there does seem to be a major split locally between Fianna Fáil members here in Donegal over going into government with Fine Gael. Do you feel that the ballot papers, once they're returned next week, may reflect that?
Well, I think there's no doubt that this is a very difficult decision for our party and for our members. It's not a decision I would have envisaged or a coalition combination that I would have ever envisaged having to consider, and I think you could say that likewise for our membership, and certainly it's one which, you know, we would have engaged in reluctantly, but very much in the knowledge that it was that we had to deal with the reality of the outcome of the election and be responsible in terms of playing our part in ensuring that the government could be formed. And so certainly it wasn't one that was grasped by enthusiasm by members, but I think members do very much understand the situation and the reality that is there. And, you know, there are people who have different views on it, but I think overall, you know, being a member of a political party is a very important role, never more so than it is right now, because political parties, not only ourselves, but the Green Party and Fine Gael will be making a decision now in terms of whether the country will get a government or not.
An infectious disease specialist says schools and creches should reopen as a matter of urgency. The National Public Health Emergency Team met again this morning to discuss the roadmap of lifting COVID-19 restrictions. Hairdressers and barbers reopening were up for discussion, along with guidelines for weddings. But Professor Sam McConkie believes children's education should be a priority.
So I would follow the Danish model. There they have little bubbles of five or six families get together, and the children are allowed to mix freely within that group of five children in the classroom. And then you could have two or three bubbles like that in one classroom.
There have been no new deaths related to COVID-19 recorded in the north today, while one new case has been confirmed. The death toll remains at 543 in Northern Ireland, while the total number of confirmed cases is 4,863. Meanwhile, hairdressers and barbers there are set to reopen on July the 6th. The Northern Ireland Executive has approved the measure, which is a number of weeks earlier than the Republic's timeline. They're not due to reopen here until July the 20th. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson has published a bill which, if enacted, would make it compulsory for banks to cover the cost of mortgage payment breaks granted during the COVID-19 crisis. Almost 80,000 mortgage holders have been given a payment break. However, the move could result in higher debt and interest charges in the long term. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says the government must take inspiration from their EU counterparts and ensure that these additional charges do not come into effect.
Right across Europe, banks are offering payment breaks for people whose incomes have been affected as a result of COVID-19. But unlike Germany and Spain and Belgium and many other countries, what's happening in Ireland is that interest is still being accrued, which means that, for example, if you have a €200,000 mortgage, then if you end up taking this payment break, you will pay a penalty of €2,600 extra. That's €2,600 extra in the pockets of the banks as opposed to your pockets. And what we've done today is shown the government how you can stand up for ordinary people, looking at what has happened in 12 other jurisdictions across the European Union, and publish the legislation to make sure that interest cannot be charged by the banks on people who are financially vulnerable at this time.
Because there is a lot of fanfare regarding these payment breaks, but what you're saying really is that that's not really the case, that the banks will actually charge this interest going forward.
Not only so, when you take out a mortgage for €200,000, you have to pay that back over the lifetime of your mortgage. You have to pay back the interest, which might be another close to €200,000. But now what the banks are doing is that you'll have to pay back about €2,500 extra, depending on the size of your mortgage, because you take this break. This is the COVID penalty. And if my legislation were to be adopted, it would mean that banks wouldn't be able to profit as a result of the COVID pandemic. At the minute, they're probably estimated to profit over €100 million on additional charges on customers who are taking the breaks. We need to do what the German government have done, what the Spanish government have done, what the Belgian government have done, what the governments in Cyprus have done. They've decided to legislate to protect their citizens from banks preying on their vulnerability at this time. We have a government, unfortunately, who's in the pockets of big bankers and big industry, and always roll over when it comes to whose side do you take.
Letterkenny businessman John Watson has said while coming to terms with losing his business has been difficult, the potential loss of life would have been so much worse. Investigations are continuing into the cause of the fire, which broke out on Monday evening, gutting Watson Hire. Efforts are underway to get the business back up and running again. Reflecting on the past few days on today's 9 till noon show, Mr. Watson says the support from people has been overwhelming.
It's been tough. Just my head's all over the place. I'm trying to, just trying to get a plan now to get going again. And we're looking for premises now at the minute. We're getting the computers up and going and stuff like that, you know. It's a bit of a whirlwind, and can be a bit overwhelming at times, but we're getting there. Today it hit me that we're all out, we all got out, you know, and the reality and the scary part was maybe another 5 or 10 minutes. It's been a whole different ballgame, you know. Yesterday was all adrenaline, I suppose. Yesterday I was trying to get things sorted out, but today it's just a different, you know, it just hit me today how bad it could have been, you know. The support locally is overwhelming. Like everywhere I go, people are, you know, it just feels like a week. That's what it feels like. You know, it's just everywhere I go, there's great support, and I really appreciate that.
Letterkenny University Hospital has confirmed that the medical rehabilitation unit at St Connell's campus will not be relocating. As part of the plans to resume services that have been temporarily stopped due to COVID-19, the hospital was exploring options to make best use of all beds, which included temporarily moving the rehabilitation service to the main hospital. There were concerns, however, that the move would potentially result in delays in rehab care. However, following a COVID-19 management meeting this afternoon, the hospital has given reassurances that the unit will remain at the St Connell site. A plan to help the West and border regions to compete economically with Dublin has been announced. The Northern and Western Regional Assembly proposal is aiming for a 50% increase in the population of Galway over the next 20 years. It also plans for the growth of Letterkenny, Sligo and Athlone. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The regional spatial and economic strategy creates an overarching template for how Letterkenny, Sligo, Galway and Athlone and other communities in the West and border regions must develop over the next 20 years to cater for huge expected increases in population. It aims to transform the region between now and 2040 with a new focused and more strategic delivery of housing, transport infrastructure, healthcare, education and childcare, while also developing more employment clusters in high-value sectors such as tech, advanced engineering, food and med tech. The strategy outlines tailored growth centre plans for the larger urban centres of Letterkenny, Sligo and Athlone that expect to see a 40% growth in population, while the overall forecast for the West and border area is for a population increase of 180,000 by 2040.
At 14 minutes past five, it's time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with golf. Rory McIlroy has completed his opening round at the RBC Tee Heritage. The Ulsterman carded 3 bogeys on his front 9, but then picked up a couple of shots on the back to end round 1 on +1. That is currently 8 shots off the leader, who is England's Ian Poulter. He shot an opening round 64. And the likes of Jordan Spieth is close at hand, just 2 shots off the pace, sitting in a large group at 5 under. Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell both tee off just after 6 o'clock Irish time. In racing, odds-on favourite Stradivarius has completed a hat-trick of Gold Cup wins at Royal Ascot. The Frankie Dettori mount, trained by John Godsden, came home ahead of 11-1 shot Naffin Road, with cross-counter finishing in third. Cross-channel soccer, Aston Villa captain Jack Grealish has been charged with driving without due care and attention and failing to stop at a collision. Police were called to an incident on the morning of March 29th in West Midlands, in the West Midlands region of England. They were responding to reports that a Range Rover had crashed into 2 parked cars on a street. Grealish must appear before Birmingham Magistrate Court on August 25th. Timo Werner says joining Chelsea feels like the right step for his career. The Premier League side have paid almost €60 million for the RB Leipzig striker. Tottenham boss Jose Mourinho says Harry Kane will start tomorrow's Premier League return at home to Manchester United. The England captain has been out since New Year's Day, having recovered from an operation on a hamstring injury. However, Mourinho says Kane, not playing for 6 months, presents a number of questions.
Does Harry have 90 minutes, 80, 70, 60? I don't know. I think only the game will tell us that. Is he in the top of his form? We don't know.
Manchester City say Eric Garcia has been discharged from hospital. The defender was stretchered off in their game with Arsenal following a heavy collision with his own goalkeeper Ederson. City say Garcia will continue to be monitored ahead of a return to training. There's renewed hope this week that the SSE or Trusta League Premier Division can resume in early August. Talks have taken place between the clubs and the FAA, with the financial package on offer reportedly increased. There are a number of other issues included in the talks. Among them are grounds suitable to be used under the new HSE guidelines. Fun Harps have launched a fundraiser to bring Fun Park up to standard, which will cost in the region of €30,000. Soccer writer with the Herald is Aidan Fitzmaurice, and he feels the current situation again highlights the ongoing issues within the league.
A lot of this sushing is just underlying how underfunded, underprepared League of Ireland football has been for the last 20 years, because clubs are so reliant on gate receipts, because there is no real TV income, there's no sponsorship deals are nowhere near what they should be, prize money isn't what it should be, transfer fees are way below what they should be. This is just underlying, it shouldn't be a situation where clubs need that gate money on a Friday night from ticket sales, from programme sales, from lotto, from raffle, from tea rooms, from bars, everything else. They shouldn't be as reliant on that match night as they are, and this really is putting a question under why have we been in this situation for 20 years. So maybe it can lead to a better league.
And you can hear more from Aidan Fitzmaurice. I spoke to him earlier today, and it's part of the Score programme, which will be broadcast tonight just after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the programme this evening, I'll be speaking to Brian Brogan, chairman of Donegal Motor Club. This week, of course, was to be the 2020 running of the Donegal International Rally. It also marks the first anniversary of the death of Manus Kelly, and I'll be speaking to multi-winner of the International Rory Kennedy on Manus's life. That's after the 7 news this evening. Finally, in boxing, Eddie Hearn has once again indicated Jason Quigley will be part of his promotions, which will take place on his mansion grounds this summer. The Donegal middleweight has been lined up to take on Jack Cullen, with the Matchroom boss reportedly saying the fight has been agreed. But as of yet, Golden Boy, who look after Quigley, have not yet confirmed any move. Hearn will proceed with boxing cards starting in July that will be held on his property and will be the first fights in the UK since the shutdown. Quigley and Belfast fighter James Tennyson are expected to be part of the bills, as well as world champion Kitty Taylor. That's it, Michaela. We'll have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin, and it's now time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A pilot REPS Mark II scheme is on the way, and this is a significant development which will benefit a large number of Donegal farmers. In effect, this is a new flagship environmental scheme for Irish farmers. Pat O'Toole is the news correspondent for the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been telling me more.
Farmers love REPS, and they loved it for two reasons. It was very accessible. There was huge uptake of REPS, 70,000 farmers in the end, and which made it by far the most successful scheme I think we ever had. And there was huge buy-in and positivity to REPS from farmers. And the other thing is the volume of payment. The AOS was a pay limitation, and then the GLOS scheme, while better than AOS, a maximum of 5,000 a year for farmers on or 7,000 for the hill farmers. So REPS in comparison was offering almost up to twice that. So farmers loved REPS, and the news that a REPS type program is on the way in the next program for government is great. Three separate streams of funding for it. The initial pilot program will be happening next year, and that's during the transition phase of the CAPS. So they're effectively the CAPS being rolled over. It's going to be funded from the carbon tax, and 1.5 billion is being pledged from the carbon tax revenues over the next decade to go into the new REPS. That's a lot of money. And it'll also be a Pillar 2 scheme, so there'll be Pillar 2 of the EU funding, of the CAP, which has goes to the ANC, disadvantaged payments, and also to previous agri-environmental programs, to the TAMS. So new REPS will fit in there when the program is up and running. And it will also have the co-funding from Dublin separate to the carbon tax funds. So huge funding for it. And it will be both target targeted and in terms of both actions and outcomes. Previously, I suppose reps was action-driven, whereas results will be measured as well. So there's going to be a lot of measuring going on farms over the next 2 years to establish baselines and to measure progress on things like carbon output, biodiversity enhancement, soil quality, and then air quality and water quality as well. So very challenging, but huge potential.
If the government talks and the various parties and members don't agree on a new government, will this happen anyway, no matter who's in charge?
That's a really good question. And I think the answer to that is yes and no, in that this programme for government is predicated on Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens all endorsing it and going into power together. But having said that, there's no way back from this programme for government, in my opinion. Any future government won't get away with much less than the 7% per annum carbon tax or carbon output reduction commitment. It's kind of in line with the previous government's Green Deal. It's in line with the Farm to Fork and the overarching Green Deal that's coming from Europe. So when you put all that together, I think the die is cast, and we'll be basing the next programme for government, whoever's in power, be that Sinn Féin, be it Fine Gael, be it Fianna Fáil, be it Labour, the Greens, it doesn't matter. I think that the template is there now, and we'll be working off that, maybe going one side or the other of it, but not too far. So this is likely to happen, and farmers will want it. There's been huge excitement among farmers about the announcement of a new reps. So I think we will have something like it, whether or which.
And just to explain, I mean, in effect, this is going to be a pilot scheme almost in the short term. And then when we've next cap, it'll tie in there for something more structured, perhaps.
Exactly. But the pilot scheme will be significant. There'll be huge funding in it, and it'll be open to all as we understand it. It's not a pilot scheme in the sense that it's going to be limited by area or by numbers.
Now let's talk money. How soon can people apply, and if everything meets the criteria, when could we see payments coming through?
Next year. The programme will be opening, we understand it, later this year, to start in 2021, and farmers will be active in the programme and being paid from it in 2021.
And just to put it into context, Pat, here in Donegal we've around 4,000 full-time farmers, maybe 4,000 part-time. A huge percentage of these farmers will no doubt be interested in applying.
Absolutely. There are some sections of farmers that it mightn't suit, very intensive, like pig and poultry producers and intensive dairy units which are in derogation. It seems that derogation farms won't be allowed in, and also perhaps feedlot farms. But for your typical dry stock farm, and for your less intensive dairy farm, I think it's going to be the default position. There will be no reason not to be in it, and there will be huge take-up.
And naturally, money into farmers' pockets means money circulating in the local economy, and in rural areas, one cannot understate the importance of this.
Absolutely, and I think especially for dry stock farmers, because of the proposals there to flatten payments in the basic payment system, we know that for everyone except dairy farmers, the vast majority of the farm income comes from payments, because the prices don't cover the cost of production. And as a result, those basic payments are hugely vital. They're under threat. So this, as an alternative stream of income, will be very welcome and absolutely necessary.
Turning, Pat, to the programme for a new government, and fair to say that some of the fears in the farming community about the significant green input have been allayed in some quarters.
I think so. I think if you take the two red line issues that farmers were really not happy about, one being the threat to the nitrates derogation and the other being live exports, neither of those are going to happen. They're not in the programme for government. I interviewed Pippa Hackett, the Green Party agriculture spokesperson. She's a senator and she's a farmer. And she explained the Green Party's positioning. I suppose what they want to see, they want to see high standards of animal welfare, and they want to see proof of that. And so there will be an examination of the every stage of the animal's life. You will also have, farmers have nothing to fear from that. And you will also have the nitrates derogation coming under an intensive review and the nitrates regulations coming under an intensive review. But that's nothing new. It's regularly reviewed. We're in the fifth iteration of the nitrates derogate or of the nitrates act, and it's actually become more farmer friendly over time rather than the other. And I think in general the programme is ambitious, it's aspirational. The new REPS is there, which is the flagship, I suppose, vehicle for farmers. There's going to be a lot of measuring, so there's going to be a hedgerow survey done nationally to look at how much hedgerows contribute to biodiversity and carbon capture. There's going to be soil surveying done, and there's going to be a biodiversity survey done at farm level. It's going to require the involvement of farmers, and it's important information because I don't think any farmer wants to be involved in the destruction of the biosphere or the atmosphere. I think what farmers want to do is farm in harmony with nature, and any mistakes that have been made in the past, let's learn from them and improve what we do. But there's no threat to animal farming or crop farming inherent in the programme for government.
And finally and briefly, Pat, there'll be opportunities and threat. No matter what happens, we will see plenty of change ahead in the farming landscape.
The one thing we can say is that there was a real jar between the farm to fork and the, say, if you talk about food-wise, it was hard to see how they would mesh. There's a commitment that the next national strategy for agriculture and food will be fast-tracked and will be launched next year. And within 6 months of the government being formed, that's already work that's underway where we're going. So the national strategy, the farm to fork and the programme from government will all be dovetailing, and farmers will have at least clarity on where we're going.
And that was Pat O'Toole, news correspondent for the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, Chagosk is highlighting the importance of cash flow planning as a vital business tool that all farmers should engage in. A series of videos, articles and support tools are now available on its website. And IFA Animal Health Chairman Pat Farrell has sharply criticised the Department of Agriculture changes to the TB eradication programme. He said the latest move by the department to remove animals that were previously inconclusive in TB breakdowns and to deem tests where four or more animals test inconclusive as reactors is a significant change to the programme that impacts severely on farmers. And finally, the €50 million financial aid package for beef finishers announced by Agriculture Minister Michael Creed has been widely welcomed. Donegal IFA County Chairman Brendan McLaughlin said that the package was long overdue and badly needed. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Weather now mostly cloudy for the rest of today with light breezes and scattered showers. Some will be heavy and possibly thundery. Lowest temperatures tonight of 10 to 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a search operation is ongoing in the Loch Keel area outside Kilmacrenan this evening. The Malnhead Coast Guard received a report for assistance at around 5 to 3 this afternoon. The death of Garda Colm Horgan has been described as a colossal loss to the community in Castlereagh. The 49-year-old was shot dead in the Roscommon town last night. Fianna Fáil members in Donegal are being urged by party colleague Deputy Charlie McConlough to support the programme for government. There's a major split within the party locally over plans to enter a coalition with Fine Gael. And Letterkenny businessman John Watson has said while coming to terms with losing his business has been difficult, the potential loss of life would have been so much worse. Investigations are continuing into the cause of the fire, which broke out on Monday evening, gutting Watson Hire. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, June the 18th. The death has taken place of Linda Gallagher, née Egan, Bunawak, Crawley, formerly Manchester. Due to government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private. The death has taken place of Colm Kelly, Station House, Station Road, Creeslaw. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Annie McLaughlin, Falmore, Glen Ely. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private.